in the fifth letter of John, in the fifth chapter of John's Gospel, an interesting thing takes place. I'd like to comment on it and use it as a stepping stone to saying something about healing tonight. Jesus comes up to a man at the pool in Siloam, and he asks a rather curious question. He says, "Do you want to be healed?" And the people say, and the normal say, "Well, that's a strange thing to say. Do you want to be healed? Here, I'm here." But somehow Jesus knew the man's history. He understood the spirit. He knew where he was coming from. And he asked him, do you really want to be healed? In every healing process, there's a necessity for people to make a decision to be healed. They need to want to be healed. Let me say a little something about a decision. The decision is not a feeling. One of the things we have learned in the renewal, and you've heard me talk about this to members of the community, we are a new creation. Our humanity, and we have our divinity. When we are baptized, we become a new creation. Jesus didn't come down to take our old self and refurbish it, renew it, patch it up, make it look good so that we can limp along. He gave us a completely new life. It dwells in our spirit realm. And the whole eager desire of the Holy Spirit is to teach us how to live fully in the spirit realm while keeping our feet perfectly on ground and being normal human beings. But we put on the mind of Christ. It's like we live here, we understand here, so that all of this makes sense over here. It doesn't make sense over here. You understand what I'm saying? He brings us into an awareness, and that's what's happening as the Holy Spirit in this new century. The church is talking about being the whole era of the Holy Spirit and our Blessed Mother. This whole area from here on and from the beginning in 2000, decisions have to be made. Let me tell you something about God's view in the area of healing. The general principle is God wants us happy, whole, complete, perfectly healed on this side. When he made Adam and Eve, he made that abundantly clear, but they botched the whole thing. Jesus came. His purpose was, when Adam and Eve, they lived over here. They were so intimate with God that the earthly existence was fantastic. I mean, it was tremendous because this made a lot more sense when they were intimate with the Lord and there was a unity. There was no this and that. It was all one in the Lord. And Jesus has come to get us back to living the way Adam and Eve did, at least that state of intimacy with God. So the general principle is God wants us healed. And Scripture puts it this way: by his wounds we have been healed. Have been healed. One translation, to emphasize the have been, puts in the word already. It says, by his wounds we already have been healed. You say, that doesn't make sense. Here I am walking around limping. What God did, he says, I didn't give it to you here. It's suspended in me, but it's totally available because God will not force his healing on us. We have to make a decision that we really want to be healed, and he will not do anything to break down that freedom that we have of making decisions. Now, having said that, the general principle is that God wants us perfectly healed. There are exceptions. He has reasons for holding off and not completing the physical healing. Let me give you just a couple examples, three things that came to mind and I jotted down. First, sometimes when a person wants to be healed, what is really taking place is the body is crying out for rest. There are some who say that people who have flu, what they just need to do is to get some rest. It's not a matter of God coming in and healing the flu, because something, there's some disorder going on in our life. They're operating in fifth gear, and the Lord's saying, get it down to second. You're moving too fast, you're burning yourself out. So sometimes what happens is that we should not allow people, and when we're praying with people, we shouldn't pray that they be healed. It may be the point, especially when the Lord makes it abundantly clear that what they really need is rest. That there's a deeper problem than the physical ill that they're talking about. Secondly, there's another exception. Sometimes God is saying, yes, I want to heal you, but not now. It's a matter of timing. The 10 lepers said they wanted to be healed, and the Lord said, okay, show yourselves to the priest. And they were still lepers. But as they went, all of a sudden the leprosy left them. It was not, sometimes it was instant, and sometimes it took a while. The Lord's not playing games. He knows what he wants. Sometimes he doesn't do it instantly because he wants some of us to have more confidence. You don't see the results right now. Do you still trust me? I know I've had to do that, and he's done that with me. He takes a while before he answers on a number of occasions, and I kind of, after a while I caught on, I kind of laugh about it, and I say, okay, I guess I have to keep trusting you. That's all hope is. Hope is nothing more than faith without a timeline. Faith is you believe it right now. And hope means I'm absolutely sure, but I don't see it. But I'm absolutely sure, and I'm not kidding myself. It's mine. And people say, you're nuts. You can have an opinion. That's okay. But hope is the assurance of things unseen. Absolute assurance of things unseen. So, sometimes the timing is wrong. And the third, the most difficult reason why the Lord, an exception where we don't really ask for a healing, is when there comes a time for people to die. Fortunately, we use the word die. It really means we depart. Remember, I was going to give a talk once, and the Lord said, they don't die, they depart. They just go through a door. They're still alive on the other side. You know, it just, you don't see them, but they're well, and in fact, they're enjoying themselves more there than they are on this side of the door. So, relax. So, there comes a time when person has to die, and it's difficult for people to take that, but there comes a time when that's what the Lord is saying. Now I want to give them the total healing, which is on this side, up here. That's God's point of view. What about people? Why do people want to hold on to? Don't want to make a decision to be healed. They want to hold on to their illness. Sometimes a person can use a sickness as a tool or as a weapon. I've heard of the story of a man who had what he thought was a wonderful marriage, but his wife left him, and shortly after he She left him. He developed cancer. Terrible, terrible cancer. And his wife, realizing it, came back and started taking care of him. As it turned out, we found out over later, in hindsight, they noticed that this is what happened. He was so insecure, he was so eager to have her with him, that he was willing to hold on to the illness so that she wouldn't leave. And after some counseling and so forth, and reconciliation and with one another there, he finally had the security. He was secure in his relationship with his wife, and the marriage was healed. And his cancer, when they prayed with him, he was healed. Another marriage, a couple was going to travel after they retired. When the husband retired, though he was pretty unfaithful over the years, she stood by him. When the time came for him to retire, she suddenly got very ill. Doctors couldn't figure out what was going on. They could never figure out why she was so ill. But as it turned out, what happened was she wanted to get even with him. She realized in hindsight that subconsciously she was getting even with him, using up the money that they were going to use for travel and doctor bills and so forth. And when the thing was finally reconciled, well, it leveled off and they were able to do that. But she was using that as a weapon against him to get even for the way he treated her over the years. People hold on to illness because they use it as a weapon or as a tool. People hold on to illness for a second time, another reason, they want to avoid responsibility. It's a good excuse for not doing your job. You think you're under pressure. So what you do is you subconsciously, you begin to get sick. That's a good excuse for not doing your job. Third reason why people hold on to it, it's a way of attracting attention, sympathy, understanding, and a semblance of love. Nurses have been telling us that it's interesting seeing what happens at Christmas time, how many people who are sick and in a hospital and getting all kind of attention. But when Christmas comes up, they suddenly start getting better and they want to go home to visit their families. And some of the people who don't have families and are lonely suddenly get sick. They end up in a hospital getting all the attention in the hospital. There are people who will not give up their illness. They'd rather hold on to the illness and feel sick and get all this attention rather than be healed, and they think they're going to be lonely. Loneliness is a harder thing. They'd rather hold on to the ill. And a fourth reason why people hold on is their identity. I've always been this way. I'm always going to be this way. Forget about it. No, nobody's going to heal me. I'm this way, and that's it. And the Lord will not force any healing on them. A sick person has to be willing to accept it. When his health, which leads to freedom, and when you are free because of your sickness has been healed, you have to assume responsibility. The flip side of freedom is responsibility. And you know that when you're healed, you're going to be expected to do the job you've been avoiding. That's a bitter pill for some people to take, and they will not decide. They decide they do not want to be healed. Now, it may not be a conscious decision, it may be a subconscious, but it's a decision nonetheless. And maybe finally, I'd like to say something about God's love. It was just mentioned in the prophecy, but God's love is unconditional. Now, we're not this way, so it's hard to believe this. You can't buy it. You can't do anything to earn it. It's unconditional. He gives you all his love. He can't love you 50%. He can't love this person 75% and you only get 30%. He pours his love 100% on everybody. You say, oh, I have some problem with that. He probably loves his mother. Jesus loves his mother more than he loves me. Not so. She absorbed a lot more of his love. You know, we barely soak it in. She soaked it in tremendously, and the effect on her was awesome. Many of us walk around with love umbrellas, you know. We kind of get what splashes off the ground next to us. He's going to try to get to the point where we begin to close the umbrella and begin to experience what he wants to give us. He'll make it possible for us. First of all, he'll soften us up so we become sponges, and then we'll begin to absorb it more and more. The rain, Scripture puts it this way, he rains on the just and on the unjust. Whether you're worthy or not has nothing to do with his, he loves, loves, and loves, period. And it's steadfast. It will never change. So when we come to the Lord, we know his heart. We come to understand his heart more and more. And when we come and really and truly want to be healed, and we open ourselves to him, we trust in him. When you go to your doctor, if you go to a really outstanding doctor, with your illness, you trust that he wants to heal you. Don't tell him how to treat you. Have enough confidence in him that you will follow him. Follow his advice. Have enough confidence when you come to the Lord that you will truly trust him totally. If he doesn't do it your way, know that he is doing it a better way. And you gotta stay locked into that. Good luck.